Oftentimes, in software engineering, as in all fields of engineering, really, the simplest, most temporary solutions end up being the best and the most permanent. It's an often repeated joke that you never want to check in a temporary fix to a bug, something just quick and dirty in order to fix it and get going, because those temporary fixes have a real habit of becoming permanent fixes that you never get to go back and undo and create something more permanent. And we joke about this because, oh gosh, that was a quick little kludgy fix, and we deride those quick little kludgy fixes, those temporary solutions. We make fun of them, we mock them, we bang our head against the wall. Oh, why did I create that temporary fix that I'm now stuck with for 35 years? But I would like to put forth the hypothesis, the simple notion that all too often, those temporary fixes are in fact better than the over-engineered fixes, than the ones that we spend tremendous amount of time designing and cultivating and planning and then implementing. Case in point, this particular post, Dave Plummer, who used to work over at Microsoft, wrote this tweet, and I'm gonna read it to you now because I think it exemplifies exactly what we're talking about here. I wrote this format dialogue here. Well, I'm gonna show you the screenshot real quick. This is the Windows format dialogue. Everyone who's used Windows for the last 20 some odd years has seen this dialogue. It has changed very, very little. I mean, even the weird design problems with it have stayed the same. For instance, notice after capacity, there's a little colon there, but there's no colon after file system and allocate unit size. Capacity is the only word that has a colon after it. Why? I don't know. It's just been that way forever. That in the format options, there's a format options has a group box that says here's a bunch of controls, and it has quick format in it, and it's just kind of a whole lot of empty space. There's design issues all over the place with this dialogue, but this dialogue has stayed in place for a long time. So the story. I wrote this format dialogue back on a rainy Thursday morning at Microsoft in late 1994, I think it was. We were porting the bajillion lines of code from the Windows 95 user interface over to NT, and format was just one of those areas where Windows NT was different enough from Windows 95 that we had to come up with some custom UI. I got out a piece of paper and wrote down all the options and choices you could make with respect to formatting a disk, like file system, label, cluster size, compression, encryption, and so on. Then I busted out Visual C++ 2.0 and used the resource editor to lay out a simple vertical stack of all the choices you had to make, in the approximate order you had to make them. It was not elegant, but it would do until the elegant UI arrived. That was some 30 years ago, and the dialogue is still my temporary one from that Thursday morning. So be careful about checking in temporary solutions. I also had to decide how much cluster stack would be too much, and that wound up constraining the format size of a fat volume to 32 gigabytes. That limit was also an arbitrary choice that morning, and one that has stuck with us as a permanent side effect. So remember, there are no temporary check-ins. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. And it's true. It's true. When you ship a product with a set of temporary fixes, quick and dirty patches and designs, those quickly designed things have a way of sticking with you for a very, very long period of time. And sometimes that is not necessarily a bad thing. I would posit to say that if the team at Microsoft, when they were doing this, had sat down in a committee to design some crazy format dialogue, right, with all sorts of bells and whistles and features designed by committee, over-engineered and architectured, that probably wouldn't have stuck around. That probably would have been replaced a dozen times by now. We've seen that happen over and over and over again, but this one was simple, it was quick, it got the job done, and it exemplified a lot of that Unix mentality. Keep it simple, stupid. Do one thing and do it well. This is the format dialogue. It helps you format. Every option is visible to you at all times, and it's in a row, and it's been consistent, and everyone knows how to use it. I want to give you guys another example. It's a little bit different. And this is from the story of UTF-8. I wrote this article sometime last year. And this is the story of UTF-8 text encoding. Now, UTF-8 text encoding is the de facto. It is essentially the text encoding that all web pages use. I mean, if you go into a web page, I think I might even have a screenshot here. If you go to a web page, you'll find UTF-8 declared on almost all of them. UTF-8 has been around for a long time now and is not going anywhere and serves as the basis of text encoding across every major operating system, every major website, all the big web browsers. It is core. UTF-8 is core. But it was designed very, very quickly. I'm going to read you a very small part of this article. If you want to read the whole article, go over to lunduke.locals.com. It's called The Unlikely Story of UTF-8. And it's worth a read just for the history behind this here. So in the 1990s, the early 90s, the X-Open organization, right, which was originally called the Open Group for Unix Systems, they pulled together. They pulled together representatives from huge number of companies. Let's see, what are the companies listed here? Sun, Hewlett-Packard, AT&T, IBM, a bunch of others. And they met in Austin in order to create a new text encoding standard. And they were not happy with it. So I'm gonna go down here a little bit here, because this story is about two guys, Ken Thompson and Rob Pike. And Ken Thompson and Rob Pike, legends, right? Legendary Unix programmers going way back. The amount of accomplishments in these guys' bat belt are insane. They've really just done a lot for the world of computing. And they were currently working on the Plan 9 operating system, and they were not happy with the current UTF encoding. It was not pleasing them, it annoyed them, but they were going to ship it with their Plan 9 operating system that was just about like days away from launching. And then they get a call. I'm going to read this here. This is from Rob Pike. Rob Pike wrote about this sometime later. Quote, "We had used the original UTF-8 from ISO 10646 to make Plan 9 support 16-bit characters, but we hated it. We were close to shipping the system when late one afternoon I received a call from some folks, I think at IBM. I remember them being in Austin, who were in an X-Open committee meeting, and they wanted Ken and me to vet their new UTF design," right? So this was a new version of UTF that had some new features. Now, he goes on to say, "Ken and I suddenly realized that there was an opportunity to use our experience to design a really good standard and get the X-Open guys to push it out. We suggested this, and the deal was, if we could do it fast, okay." Now, when they said fast, they meant right then, because those people from X-Open were literally traveling from around the country, and in some cases around the world, sitting in Austin, Texas, and meeting on it right then, like immediately. They needed to get that new spec that did not exist come up with and submitted to them and vetted like within a matter of hours, essentially. So what did they do? Here we go. "So we went to dinner. Ken figured out the 8-bit packing, and when we came back to the lab after dinner, we called the X-Open guys and explained our scheme. We mailed them an outline of our spec, and they replied saying that it was better than theirs. I don't believe I ever actually saw their proposal. I know I don't remember it. And how fast could we implement it? I think this was Wednesday night, and we promised a complete running system by Monday," which I think was when their big vote was. So, and here's the crazy thing. They wrote it on a placemat in a diner in New Jersey. This is a picture of a Denny's placemat from that era. It was not a Denny's. It was just a small hole-in-the-wall diner that these two legends went to. And on their paper placemat, they quickly sketched out the entire idea behind UTF-8. And then they went back and they said, "Do you like this?" The people that were meeting right that week on this said, "If you can get it working in like 4 days, yeah, good luck." And so what did Ken Thompson and Rob Pike do? They did it. A quote, UTF-8 was designed in front of my eyes on a placemat in a New Jersey diner. So that night, Ken wrote the packing and unpacking code, and I started tearing into the C and graphics libraries. The next day, all the code was done. They wrote UTF-8, the first implementation of it, based on a placemat sketch. Over that one night. The next day, the code was done, and we started converting the text files on the system itself. By Friday, sometime, Plan 9 was running, and only running, what would be called UTF-8. We called X open, and the rest, as they say, is slightly rewritten history. So here's the timeline here, because I want to make this very clear. This was an engineering design that has stuck with us 30 plus years now, that has dramatically impacted computing across huge numbers of operating systems. On Wednesday evening, they were sitting at a diner in New Jersey, sketching it out on a placemat. On that same night, the coding begins. By the following morning, some like 12 hours after this all started, coding was done. then they started going through just converting all the text files in the system just as a, you know, to make sure it all works well. And it did. And so by the next day, they were done. So on Monday, that following Monday, the XOpen group voted based on the encoding design and the software that Ken and Rob had just created. And they said, yeah, let's do it. And what's crazy about this, hours after the official vote took place, literally. So it took place, late in the day, sometime on Monday, September 7th. On Tuesday, September 8th, at 3:00 in the friggin' morning, Ken Thompson announced that Plan 9 was now using UTF-8. He says the code has been tested to some degree and should be pretty good shape. We have converted Plan 9 to use this encoding and are about to issue a distribution to an initial set of university users. That's right. These two guys right here that you see on the screen, Rob Pike and Ken Thompson, they came up with a spec on a placemat while they were eating, implemented it that night, and by the following, like, a little after the stroke of midnight, the following Monday, they were releasing their entire operating system using this brand new text encoding that they came up with on a placemat. They were literally releasing an entire operating system that they just whipped out the whole text encoding for within hours. A quick, honestly dirty solution. I mean, they knew what they were doing. These were no dumb kids. They'd had lots of experience. So when they created a solution, they had some knowledge, right? It wasn't like this was coming from nowhere. They'd never seen a computer before. But just the same, this was not created by committee. This was not designed by committee. This did not go through a review process. This did not have sanity and code checks. There was no pair programming. There was no code reviews. They just banged that sucker out, barely slept, wrote it all down on a placemat and shipped it. Shipped a whole OS for it. And since that day, it's impacted every major operating system on planet Earth in a massive way. Sometimes the solutions, when we just aren't thinking about it too hard, end up being the best ones. And that goes in right in line with this. The format dialog on Windows. Sure, it doesn't have the same reach as, say, the text encoding that Windows, Mac, Linux, every BSD, all the web browsers, everything uses. But a lot of people have seen and used this format dialog. And Dave Plummer whipped it out, as he put it, on a rainy Thursday morning at Microsoft. That's just super cool. That's super cool. The number of the number of examples for this sort of thing are off the charts. Absolutely off the charts. And I would hold firm that while it may not always be the case, a lot of times, those quick and dirty solutions, they don't not only have more staying power, but that's a good thing. They're not over-engineered. They're not overcomplicated. They're not designed by committee. One guy, two guys, sitting in a New Jersey diner, sitting with a piece of paper on a rainy Thursday morning. They create the pieces of software that shape all of computing for decades to come. That's how it's done, ladies and gentlemen. Not by committee, but by just sitting around on a random day for a couple of hours, just whipping something out. Awesome. Thank you to everyone who subscribes and makes the Lunduke Journal possible. You are absolutely fantastic. Going over to lunduke.com for all the links, of course. Do that. Clickety-clickety. There's places there that will blow your mind. And by blow your mind, I mean they're universal resource locators. You can click on them. And you love them. You love clicking on things. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, nerds and nerdettes across the inner tube, I do declare, end broadcast.